Turn in your Bibles, first of all, to a very familiar text, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. We'll be talking this whole month on so great salvation. So great salvation. Salvation is great. It's wonderful to be saved, isn't it? It's wonderful to know that if I never see tomorrow, I know I'll wake up in heaven with my Savior. Tomorrow, if I never see it on this earth. But it's good to know that God has provided for mankind this opportunity to be saved. When we look into the Bible reveals itself, salvation, as to rescue from harm, danger, or even death. It's the renewing of your spirit. It's maybe restoring one to a relationship with God. Salvation brings many different views in the Bible. We're talking about saving salvation, being saved. You know, if an individual will believe Genesis 1:1 as a true fact, they have very little problems believing the rest of the Bible. But you know, if you have questions in Genesis 1:1, you're going to doubt the rest of the text, the Bible. Well, to understand the New Testament, also, if we're going to understand the New Testament, there's two things we need to get settled. First of all, we need to understand who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. And secondly, we need to understand what Jesus did. What Jesus did. Who he is and what he did. If we can get those facts established in our minds and our hearts, we can better understand the New Testament. Because the New Testament, the whole Bible is, but especially the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, speaks of Jesus himself. Tell us all about him, who he is and what he did. And I want to know more about him every day. I really do. I want to know more about what he did, what he's done for me, who he is, you know. And we've been talking about that from our text in John chapter 3, verse 16. We broke the text down to begin with in the first Sunday of this month. We talked about, first of all, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. That is God's plan. The great gospel plan, mystery that is. I don't understand why, I don't understand why God would give his Son for me to die. I don't understand why he would give God's Son for anybody to die. But he did. He did. I don't understand that. We talked about the plan of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, in breaking this down, we see here the person of the giver. Who was the giver in that verse? Tell me. God, okay? He's the giver. Now, what is the cause for giving? Why did he give? Love, right. He loves us, and then what was the gift he gave? His Son. Okay, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. My, what a wonderful text this is to realize this. For God so, what does the word so mean? The word so we talked about means in this manner. So you can literally read that verse, for God in this manner gave his Son for mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. For God in this manner loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, that word begotten is specific too. It means one of a kind. One of a kind. There's only ever been one Jesus, and there never will be another Jesus. He's one of a kind. You know, when God gave his Son, that was it. There was no more to give. There was no more before him. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's God's plan. That's God's plan for all mankind. I'm thankful today for God's plan, aren't you? I'm grateful today that we have so great salvation. We also talked about the great gospel duty last week. That whosoever believeth in him, that's God's purpose. God's purpose. God's purpose is for everybody to believe in him. To believe in him. Sad to say, everybody won't believe in him, but it's still God's purpose. It's God's purpose for him, for everybody to believe in him and trust him as their personal Savior. Now, today we get down to the last part of this verse, the great gospel benefit. You know, everybody likes benefits, don't we? You know, I got up this morning, I went to the bathroom, and I turned on the water, and I was washing my hands, and it dawned on me, hey, this water is cold, but I've got a benefit. I can get warm water. I turned that speaker to the left, and just a few seconds, I had warm water. Benefit. We have a benefit to be in a building that's warm today. You know. But when we're talking about the great gospel benefits here in this last part of this verse, I want us to look together and see what God has for us. Notice it says in John chapter 3, verse 16. I want you to read it out loud with me together, okay? John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let's notice the great gospel benefits here. First of all, we see should not perish. This is his promise. We talked about his plan, we talked about his purpose, and this is his promise. If you believe in me, you will not perish. Should not perish. That's what Jesus says right here in this verse. Now, should not perish. What does perish mean? It means to be lost. It means to be destroyed or to die, right? Lost. Shall not perish is very, very important here. So we see here the benefit of this gift is we should not perish. We should not perish. Now, let's go a step further. This is the promise to me. This is the promise to you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now, notice, shall not perish, should not perish, the benefit here. I shall not, when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as my Savior, I should not remain in sin. I should not remain in sin. Turn over to 1 John. 1 John. This is the benefits we're talking about of the great gospel that we have. 1 John chapter 3, look at it. Verses with me here. The benefits we have, we should not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. If you believe in him, that is Jesus Christ, you should not perish. You should not perish. In other words, you're saved, you're forgiven forever, okay? You should not perish. Notice it says, I shall not remain in sin. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You ever feel like you're strange in this world as a Christian? That's why. It didn't know him, it won't know us. If we are genuine, true believers in this world, we're going to be different from other people in the world around us that we have to deal with every day. But here, knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now we are the who? Sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, who is he? When Jesus shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And notice, and every man that hath this hope, what is this hope? One day seeing Jesus, one day being with Jesus. If you have that hope, if you're saved, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that hope. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Purifieth himself even as he is pure. Notice, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin, that is Jesus Christ. Verse 6, whosoever abideth in him, that is in Jesus, whosoever saved, whosoever abideth in him, the Bible says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, that is Jesus, neither known him, okay? Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. That is God's seed, which is who? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God indwells you, indwells me as a believer. Therefore we see, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. There's something that God put within me when I trusted Christ as my Savior. They gave me a desire not to do wrong. And it's this Holy Spirit. He's in the heart of every person that's ever been saved. We have him in us to guide us and to help us not to sin. Not to sin. Now, we know we all are going to sin. Chapter 1 tells us if we say we don't sin, we're a liar. And when we know that we all do sin. But there's still a desire within us not to sin if we're saved. Amen? I don't want to sin, but I do sometimes. I fail, I come short, you see, because I'm still in this house of flesh. But it's not my desire to do that. Why? Because there's an inward person living within me, the Holy Spirit of God, to give me that desire not to sin. Therefore, we find this is a benefit of knowing Christ as my Savior. I should not perish, because we know what sin would do to us, don't we? It will eventually destroy us. It'll hurt us. It'll harm us. We can harm other people by our own sins too, can't we? So we need to be careful about these things, about sinning, you see. We should not perish. We don't have to perish, folks, because of sin. Because we have the Holy Spirit within us to keep us from sinning in our lives. Notice also, I shall not have a bad conscience. Go back to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 5. Should not perish. Talking about a benefit of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. This great salvation, folks, that we have. I shall not have a bad conscience in verse number 5. 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is what? Light. And in him is no what? Darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen to that. Thank God for that. Verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, the Bible says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Because of this great benefit, should not perish. I won't have a bad conscience, because it should bother us when we sin. When we sin, it should bother us. When my relationship is not what it ought to be between me and God, it should bother me. It should concern me. There should be something down in my collar, under my collarbone, I call it, that disturbs me, because I know I've done wrong and I need to make it right. Should not perish. Those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ should not perish. Should not perish. Also, I shall not be under the law. Turn back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The Bible says here about this benefit we have. I shall not live under the law. Thank God for that today. We don't live under the law. If we live under the law at all, go to hell. Because we can't keep the law, can we? It's impossible to keep the law. It's impossible to keep the law. In Romans chapter 6, look at verse 14. Because I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in my Savior. Look what the Bible says. For sin shall not, this is Romans 6, 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under what? We're under grace. We're under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. God forbid. We don't have a, sometimes we as independent Baptists get sometimes called people that have a free license to do what we want to do because we believe in eternal security. That's not biblical at all, what he's talking about there.
Right.
We don't have a free license to sin. When we sin, we're going to suffer the consequences. I don't care who we are. If we're saved, we will still suffer the consequences of sinning in our lives. Now, verse number 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves service to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thankful that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The servants of righteousness. Thank God for that. We no longer serve sin, we serve righteousness. So we see here, we're talking about the benefit of this gift. The benefit of this gift. That is salvation. Salvation. This gift, we find the grace of God has bestowed it upon us. We see in Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, it is the gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. That is, salvation is a gift from God. It comes from God. And this grace, listen, the grace of God extinguishes us from hell, folks. Extinguishes us from hell. We don't die, we don't have to die and go to hell because of God's grace. Thank God for his grace. We see, because of this grace, we can cast the devil under our feet and step all over him. He does not have the opportunity to take dominion in our life. We have to flee from him, the Bible says. And he will leave you alone. We also see the grace of God gives us a joy in our hearts because we know that we should not perish. We should not perish as God's children, you see. It gives us an eternal, imperishable life. Imperishable life. We should not perish as believers, you see. We should not perish. Now notice how this gift is received. How is this gift received? I'm talking about his promise, should not perish. How is this gift received? It's by faith and faith alone. Salvation is by faith and faith alone. It's by faith, you know. Faith and understanding. You know, there's a lot of difference here. You know, I don't understand how God made the world, do you? In 6 days, he formed the world and everything in it. I don't understand that. But yet I can still believe it. I can still believe it, you see. Likewise, salvation, see. I can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as my Savior to save me, not knowing how he does it, but he does it. I trust him by faith. I trust him, you see. See, this unhappiness, this unspeakable happiness as we as believers have, we're blessed to have this. We are totally indebted to Jesus Christ for it and for what he's done for us in our lives, you see. That is, we're saved from the miseries of ever going to hell. We don't have to go there. If you're saved today, if you're born again child of God, there's nothing that can send you to hell. Not one thing. Because Jesus Christ has saved you. He's keeping you. See, God has taken away our sins. And God alone has done that. We shall not die. We've been pardoned. We've been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that song that Russell Bell sings a lot. Some of you know Russell Bell, some of you don't. Jesus signed my pardon. I love that song. This I truly know. I love that, to know that Jesus has purchased me. He signed my pardon there on Calvary many years ago. My. So we see the benefits of should not perish. Should not perish. This is God's promise. To him that believeth on him should not perish. Now let's notice the last benefit on this verse in John chapter 3, verse 16. But have everlasting life. But have everlasting life. The benefit? This is God's provision for you. This is God's provision for me. We have everlasting life. We have everlasting life. Now, let's go back to John again where we were in chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Look at verse number 15, first of all. Jesus said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then he says in verse 16, you shall have everlasting life. Now let's look at these. Eternal life. We see how everlasting life, this is God's provision. Believers, children of God, if children and then heirs of God, we are entitled to the joys of heaven one day. We're entitled to the joys of heaven one day because we are children of God. It's all because of Jesus Christ. Now, in John chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible speaks here of eternal life. This is a new life. This is a redeemed life in Jesus Christ. Okay? By God, as He gave it to us as a gift, because we believe on His Son. That's eternal life. This is the new birth, folks, we're talking about. The new birth, being born again, we call it sometimes. A new life, a new existence in Jesus Christ, given to us by God the Father. This is eternal life. Now we're talking about, though, everlasting life. Everlasting life. The benefit here of everlasting life. This is life forever, or age lasting. There's no age to it. Everlasting life. That's the life we're going to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ when we go to heaven. When we get with Him, we have everlasting life. It will never end. It will never end. We sing that old song sometimes here in church, where we'll never grow old. You know, life will last right on and on and on. You know. Someone said, compared to this life, from the time you're born to the time you die, if you live to be 100 years old, in that span of time, what age bracket would you say, would you think that we might be in when we have the glorified body? That's a good question. When you have the glorified body, what is the prime of your life? What do you think the prime age of your life is? Some of you are living in the prime age of your life right now. Some of us are kind of going over the prime of life, you see. But whatever the prime of life is, I don't know what age bracket you can put it in as far as the glorified body, but I believe it's going to be the very best we can have in this world. It's going to exceed that, no doubt about that, the glorified body. But one day we're going to have everlasting life. See, it's offered to all men. Eternal life, everlasting life, is offered to everybody. And we find that Jesus is the author of it. But there is a condition to it, folks. What is the condition? The condition is repentance and faith. Amen. Repentance and faith. You never enjoy this everlasting life and should not perish. This gift of God, salvation, is so great apart from repentance and faith. Repentance and faith is very, very important. The Son of God became the Son of Men. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Amen. What an exchange. What God offered to us. My, God has done everything for us to make it possible for us to have the best in this life and have something even better to look forward to when we leave this world. He's done everything for us. My, what a great God we have. What a great God we have. See, salvation comes from the very love of God. The very love of God. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you. He loved me. He loved everybody. And that's why we have this privilege. It's based upon the atonement of Jesus Christ. The fact that He was willing to come and die on Calvary for you and I. He shed His blood for you and I. Thank God today for that. Salvation is realized how? By forgiveness of sin. It's realized by being born again. The new birth. I don't think it's possible. I literally don't think it's possible for a person to be born again and not know it. I said it before. If you could be born again and not know it, you could lose it and not miss it. I think it's impossible to be born again and not know it. I really do. But we find that salvation brings that. It brings also sanctification. There comes a time after I'm saved, hey, I realize, hey, I used to do this, but I shouldn't do this now. You know, I shouldn't go to the places I used to go to. because now Christ lives within me. You see, and my life is different now because I'm saved, Eternal life, everlasting life, salvation. Listen, folks, this is a priceless treasure. This is a gift from God that everyone is available to everyone. The Bible says to the Jew first and to the Greek also. It's for everyone. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Salvation is available to everyone. It's a priceless treasure, the gift of God. Salvation is of God. Psalm 27, verse 1 tells us this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I fear? So we see it's a priceless treasure, this gift of God. So great salvation. Probably everybody in this room, I don't know, mostly everybody probably in this room is saved today. There's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing in this world that is any more precious to you than your salvation. Knowing that in this life I have the joy of living for my Savior, and also the joy of knowing that one day I'm going to live with Him forever. What else could we ask for, folks? I don't know about you, but I'm getting kind of tired of living in this world. I really am. All the trials and all the testing we have and all the wickedness we see everywhere we turn, I think God is trying to prepare us, folks, that whenever we leave this world, we won't miss it as bad as we think we are. Because we're getting weary in it. We're getting weary in it, you know. It's just like whenever you have a loved one that's really sick. I've been through this many times in my life. My mom and dad, and my brother and sister, a lot of people in my family is dead. But whenever I see my loved one laying on a bed so sick, they don't even know where they are, and the doctors have done all they can do, and they say it's up to God, or they say they've done all they can do. Most of them don't ever say it's up to God, but they say they've done all they can do. And I don't see my sister, my brother, my sister, my mom, dad, who it was getting any better. And I know they're saved. That's the key. And I know they're saved. That's when I begin to pray, God, if it should be your will, take them home. Take them home. They're better off. They're better off with the Lord than they are here. And we as born-again children of God, because of the wickedness in this world that we're seeing, God is preparing us, He's getting us to the point in our life that we're thinking about being better off over there than we're over here. It's much better over there than it is over here. And our pastor said many times, we're going to spend more time over there than we are here. A lot more time over there than we are here. But your destiny and my destiny is determined by what we do with Jesus Christ. What we do with Jesus Christ. And God has made available to everyone this so great salvation. So great salvation. I have loved ones, you probably do too, that are lost. We need to be trying to reach them for Christ. We need to reach them for Christ. Time's running out, folks. Time is great running out. The great gospel mystery. This is God's plan. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His purpose, that whosoever believeth in Him, His promise, should not perish. His provision, but have everlasting life. Have everlasting life. My. No wonder someone said John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. There it is. It's all together there for us. It's there for us, folks. It really is. Salvation is only through Christ. Acts 4:12 tells us, neither is there salvation in other name. For there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. That's the only way to be saved. He's the only Savior. The conditions of salvation is confession and faith. Romans 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt what? Confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, there's confession and faith involved in salvation. You don't just pray a prayer and get saved, folks. You don't just pray a prayer and get saved. You have to confess. Confess to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I realize I'm lost, you see. I've said so many times. Until I was lost, I didn't see my need to be saved. I didn't see my need to be saved. But when I realized I was lost, hey, it woke me up. And I said, hey, I need to be saved. I better get saved, you see. That's the key today, is trying to get people lost. Trying to help them see they're lost without Christ as their Savior, you see. We also see that salvation is possible to everybody. Those people you work with, those people you go to school with, salvation is possible for them. It's possible to every man. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever includes everybody. No one's left out. That's God's love. That's God's love. The gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. I can't boast about being saved, Brother Anderson. It's all by the grace and the mercy of God that I stand here today and I'm saved. And you sit here today and you're saved. It's all because of Him. It's all because of Him. So great salvation. Listen, a priceless treasure you have. A priceless treasure I have in my life. The gift of God. I'm so glad today to know that I'm saved. I'm so glad today to know that you're saved. And we're on our way to heaven. But let's don't go to heaven alone. Like the song says. Don't go to heaven alone. Take somebody with you. Friends and neighbors are dying in sin. Don't go to heaven alone. Take somebody with you. You know, it's good to be saved. It's great to be saved. You can't explain salvation. But you know, I think about when I get to heaven. I want there to be a few people that I've already sent there or go with me when I go at the rapture, whatever takes place first. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing some of those people in heaven that I've had the opportunity to share the gospel with. Those are the trophies that we have laid up over there, folks. We laid them up over there. That's treasure in heaven that cannot compare to anything in this world that we could obtain or ever have. It's more important to tell somebody about Jesus and help them to come to know Christ as we know Christ as our Savior. I trust we'll be challenged today by this verse. Read this verse over and over. All of us know this verse by heart, no doubt. John 3:16. God's purpose, God's plan, God's purpose, God's promise, and God's provision. We find in this verse, I'm glad we have a God that loves us and that has saved us, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today with thankful hearts for this, your word that we've had, Lord, to share with these your people today. We thank you, Lord, for their attention. We thank you, Lord, for them being here today. I do pray, dear God, somehow today something has been said or done to encourage each one here. Lord, those that are saved, that we might realize our purpose for being here, Lord, is to tell others about Christ. Lord, may that be our life, our daily life, every opportunity we have. If there's one in our midst that's not saved, I pray today that you might allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to deal with that heart today. Help them to call upon the Lord before it's everlasting too late. Thank you again, dear God, for the gift. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who was willing to come and die for our sins. Not only was he willing, he was the only one qualified to come and die because he was sinless. I'm thankful for what he's done, what you've done for us today. Lord, help us, Lord, to be reminded every day And God, help us to go and tell as we journey and we wait for that day you call us home. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into. I pray, Lord, for the singing, the congregational singing, the special singing. I pray for our pastor that you would anoint him afresh and anew. Give him power, give him the liberty, Lord, today to speak what you allow him to say today. May you challenge us from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.